Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our special time to piss and moan. Once again, here on Southern Sense.
Honestly, this may be our last scheduled Piss and Moan episode, unless people turn around and tell me they want to keep on hearing it. What happens is I'm going to piss and moan. I do two shows a week on Tuesdays and Fridays, and I put a lot of hard work and effort into those two shows. So I do it on Tuesdays, and I do it on Fridays. Piss and Moan comes up on Saturdays. I am so exhausted at that point, and if anyone knows how I do my shows, I do intensive research. So I end up sitting here in front of the computers, and I have two computers going at all times, and I've got a stack of paper of research so that when I'm talking on the air, I have my facts. I know what I'm talking about. I've got that, my background. I hate it when someone goes on the air and doesn't know what the fleck. No, I'm not going to say what you thought I was going to say, but what the fleck they're talking about, because they don't have the stats, the dats, the I's and the T's and everything else crossed. So, you know, it takes a lot of hard work, and if anyone does a really true show, I respect it when they have the facts and they talk with honesty and with truth, which is I always try to do. So I'm pissing and moaning right now because, honestly, it takes a lot of energy and effort out of me. And those that have been listening for a while know that I am I'm not proud of it. I am not definitely proud of this or happy about it. But the fact is I am disabled, so I can only do just so much. So I'm going to be doing piss and moans only as special episodes. I don't think I can, unless you out there tell me that you honestly and truly want to keep on hearing every Saturday evening, piss and moan. But like I said, it takes a lot of energy. And matter of fact, I just picked up a stack of information and notes on things I've been working on all week, and I've got it right in front of me. And top one, here it is. Top one, Michael Moore. That fat turd that is a filmmaker who believes global warming and Al Gore is the second coming of Jesus, and so is Obama in the White House. made a joke at a Catholic university that said that Jesus was gay. And here Michael Moore was born Catholic himself. Now, I was born Catholic, too. But, you know, I would never, ever, ever belittle another person's religion and make such a disparaging remark. But because this is Michael, the fat, I'm going to call him the fat turd Moore, he has now, now I'm reading from the Blaze, and this is from Georgetown University in D.C., and this was this past Friday. And besides dropping a few F-bombs in his speech at a Catholic university, he turns around and said, I'm sorry, a quote, and here's the quote. Oh, God. Now, you know when you're getting old, when you need a magnifying glass to read what is written on the paper, and I don't have my magnifying glass. You know where my magnifying glass is? My husband and I turned around and went to a pawn shop, and you never know what you'll find in a pawn shop. I'm dancing all over the place. Don't worry about me. You never know what you'll find in a pawn shop. And there was this box sitting there that said stamp collection. And Yanni, when he was a kid growing up into his young adulthood, used to collect stamps. And, well, somewhere along the way, he got into a negotiation with his second wife's mother, his second mother-in-law, I should say. And he negotiated something with her and gave her all these stamps he collected as a kid. Well, you know, when we walked in the pawn shop, his eyes lit up. His eyes actually lit up. And I said, you know, you really want that? Well, it was only $50. These two stamp albums in the box. And I said, fine. You want those two albums? No problem. $50, we can afford it. No problem. Well, we probably could have used the $50 for something else. But we brought these two albums home, and he lifted the two albums out, and underneath the two albums were thousands of these unattached stamps. We started going through them, and I started hitting the internet, and I said, all right, fine. We got a one-cent stamp here. Thomas Jefferson goes back to 19... Ooh, this one-cent stamp, in its condition it's in, is now worth 20 cents. And I said, well, this is not the best of all the stamps. We have, I saw about 8 or 9 of these same stamps, and now you're talking about 20 cents, and you average these out, and I pulled out a couple of them. Some were like 50 cents, some were worth like $2, $5. I haven't seen the gold stamp yet. But you average out, you do it conservatively, say even if they're only worth 10 cents. And I said, you've got to have a few thousand of these. So a $50 investment just probably got you a couple hundred dollars back. Well, anyway, I'm diverting myself, but hey, you never know what you'll find in a pawn shop. That's not a pissing moment, but that is a moment to say you never know what you can find in a pawn shop or a yard sale. Anyway, Papa Bear is in the chat room, and he wrote, though he chose poor judgment in his comments, I would never take away his First Amendment. I agree. I would never, ever take away his First Amendment rights to make an idiot of himself. Perfect. Papa Bear, you said it right there. Absolutely. I will always defend someone's First Amendment rights to be an idiot. But that said, he has to realize that we also have a First Amendment right to call him out. And I'm calling him out. I mean, the stupidity, the audacity, and the arrogance of going to a Catholic university and not only cursing in his speech, but to turn around and insinuate that the Son of our Lord was gay. And he said, here he goes, you know those 12 men Jesus was always hanging out with? And the worst part is that he got laughter from the very same divinical students in that. I didn't think it was funny. I don't think it was funny. I don't think I would have laughed. Would have you? Now, this is definitely a piss and moan moment. Now, if you had done this in a Muslim arena, if you turned around and made a disparaging remark like this, if you had gone and in front of Anwar al-Awlaki, who is no longer with us, but with his virgins, if you had said that in front of them, if Muhammad, you claimed Muhammad was gay, what would they do to you? They would have assassinated you. But we being Christians, not just Catholics, Christians, we turn the other cheek. Would this have been done on the other side? And Papa Bear also said we are free to not watch his movies, and I have not watched one of his, and you are right. You are absolutely correct, Papa Bear. Papa Bear, you are the Papa Bear. And actually, you know what? We have our call-in line open, and normally I have my co-host Tyson with me, and this is another piss and moan moment, because tonight is Tyson's wife's birthday, so they decided to go on to Savannah to have dinner. Oh, God, you got to survive. You have to celebrate birthdays. Well, you know, once you hit a certain age, I don't think his wife has hit 50 yet, but, you know, once you hit that certain age, you stop celebrating birthdays. Come on. Enough. Anyway, Tyson is with his lovely bride and some friends celebrating her birthday. And happy birthday, Jennifer. I will tell you, Jennifer, happy birthday. I hope you're enjoying it. And I have, in true story, a glass of scotch and water with me, and I'm toasting you tonight. Happy birthday, Jennifer. Just took a sip. Anyway, you're listening to Piss and Moan here on Southern Sense. Call-in line is open. And I'm telling you right now, please call in. It's 917-889-3675. The chat room is open. I welcome everyone in here. We got a couple of guests and Papa Bear. And Papa Bear, I thank you for joining in with us. And Papa Bear, call in. Let's have a conversation here. Michael Moore. Oh, there's another piss and moan moment. I've got a clip here on Michael Moore. Let me find him. Let me get this in here because he did another stupidity earlier this week. And here is just a short little segment. And I'm going to play this one on Michael Moore. What an idiot he is.
I know you're all still recovering from the CNN Tea Party Republican debate last night. How is it that the CNN can actually join hands with the Tea Party? And together, Wolf Blitzer said, our partners, the Tea Party Express. And I'm like, what kind of alternate universe is this? I don't think it is. Actually, it's the way it is now, isn't it?
You know, for years, they keep on turning around and telling us, your Tea Party, your Republicans, your conservatives, whatever, you got to act bipartisanly. And then when CNN joins with a Tea Party and says, let's have a debate, let's get it from both sides, he criticizes it. Duh-uh. Don't you get the hypocrisy here, Michael Moore? I don't think you do. Oh, man. You know, it is absolutely amazing. And David is here in the chat room. Hello, Stay Mad Radio. Call in, David, because I need you to call in. I want you. I'm going to play this clip one more time, David, because you just popped into the chat room. I want you to call in and help me on this one because
I know you're
so
all
funny.
Still recovering from the CNN Tea Party Republican debate last night. How is it that the CNN can actually join hands with the Tea Party and together, Wolf Blitzer said, our partners, the Tea Party Express. And I'm like, What kind of alternate universe is this? I don't think it is. Actually, it's the way it is now, isn't it?
Hello, David. How are you doing? How do you like that Michael Moore clip? You know, they ask you over and over again, hey, let's have a bipartisan conversation. So we have a bipartisan conversation, CNN doing a debate with the Tea Party Express, and all of a sudden now, because we have a bipartisan conversation, Michael Moore goes out and goes, what is the alternative universe we live in? Duh-uh.
Yeah, well, I mean, they obviously they want it both ways. They want to win by any means. You know, they don't want to give any ground to you know, to anybody with the Tea Party. I honestly I didn't hear the complete clip because I was Skyping in and it cuts off your sound for a little bit as you Skype, you know, as you switch over.
Well, I will be happy to play it a third time. Here we go. I'm going to do it just one more time because it's only 28 seconds. Here
all right,
we
go.
I know you're all still recovering from the CNN Tea Party Republican debate last night. How is it that the CNN can actually join hands with the Tea Party and together, Wolf Blitzer said, our partners, the Tea Party Express. And I'm like, what kind of alternate universe is this? I don't think it is. Actually, it's the way it is now, isn't it?
All right.
Is that not too frigging funny?
Yeah, I mean, is he mad because they did a good job? Or is he mad because they were holding hands? I mean, it's tacit admission that CNN is a liberal station, right?
Absolutely true. And I am so glad, David, you know, we are listening. My call-in guest here is David Graham, who has his own show called Stay Mad, and he is also sub-hosting for Tesla. The show David, tell him about the show you are co-hosting while Tesla is on vacation with his wife.
I'm doing his Hot Topic show tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be about Obama, the black man who really isn't.
What's the station location?
Oh, you got to go to Socialism Is Not an Option on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. That's what I was looking for. And actually, October 8th, I believe, you hooked me into.
I didn't hook you into anything, honey. Don't try that on me again. You tried that last night on the show, and you were offered a shot. You can say yes or no.
I did say yes. I absolutely did say yes.
Well,
so October 8th, next Saturday, I will be. I was rooked into, and I'm not going to let you off on that one.
You're not going to let me off. What did I do?
So October 8th, I will be hosting that show, and it would be a Tea Party show. October 8th.
Well, you're doing the Saturday American Exceptionalism edition.
Okay.
Saturday at 4, yeah.
All right, excellent. Now, I'm finding that the more the Tea Party becomes, I've got a stack of, you know me, I do my research and everything else, but I've got a stack of stuff where the Tea Party has been attacked left and left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there have been a couple of attacks on the right, just one or two. But the more they do that, the more I cheer and say, you know what?
We're getting them.
We're actually growing our numbers. Every single time they do attack us, we grow our numbers.
Right.
And, you know, now, actually, I'm going to do a little bit of some of this I don't want to use because I want to save it for our October 8th show. But I got to tell you right here and now, honestly, this may be my last regular Piss and Moan show because I'm doing the one on Tuesday. Friday.
Yeah.
And I do intensive research. And by the time Saturday comes, I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually wiped out. I wake up in the morning, I hit the newspaper, and it's like, oh, crap, I got to do research for tonight. And you know, you think doing Piss and Moan will be easy, But I want people to call in. I want actually anyone that's out there listening to please call in. And you can piss and moan. It doesn't have to be political. It could be about your next door neighbor's dog peeing on your lawn. I don't care.
Well, maybe G Ski will call in. I was just on the phone with him a little while ago, and we were listening to your show. We were the two guests. He's 2318, but he stepped away for a second.
Well, I lost Papa Bear. Papa Bear backed out. And we have a guest also in the chat room, too.
Yeah,
and I welcome them because, you know, it's supposed to be something that is interactive. It doesn't have to be political.
That's G-Ski, the guest.
Yeah, and he's actually now following me on Facebook. And, yes, I am up on Facebook. Anyone wants to go, just Southern Sense on Facebook, and you'll find the little American flag logo with Southern Sense on it. And, yes, I am up on Facebook. I have a face.
And I have a book.
Oh, yes. Tell them about your book, because I do have your autographed copy, which I conned you out of.
Yeah, you did. And then you conned me out of another one for Doc.
Which he auctioned off to donate to $100 to his favorite charity.
Well, there was something in the news when he did that. I was just telling, hold on.
Well, what happened was...
A tsunami or something at that point? Or
I don't know. We have to get Doc Jones in here on the air also. But what happened was we were doing the show with David, talking about his book and everything else. And we conned Doc Jones, actually conned David into donating the book to Doc Jones, who then auctioned it off for $100. Doc Jones was the winning bidder on that one. And that $100 had to go to a charity. It didn't go to David for his book. It went to the charity at the time.
It was the floods. I'm pretty sure it was the flood victims that were happening.
Here in the United States, I believe.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yes. So, yeah, hey. You know, we have no money, but we give it away.
Right.
Hey, it sounds like the government.
Right. No, the book is called Stay Mad, Observations of a Proletarian. And it's my findings when I started waking up and researching things. I started learning things and I said, okay, smarty pants, now you know all this stuff. What are you going to do with it? So I started collecting it, and it started to congeal into different topics and categories, and each of those turned into a chapter, and I just kept refining it, and then published it on lulu.com, which is where you can find it. Just type "Stay Mad" into the search bar. It's got some history of communism in America. It's got socialism in America. I talk about American exceptionalism. I talk about the New Black Panthers, which is what you picked up on.
Yes.
And,
yeah. Absolutely.
Trinity United Church of Christ, and a couple of chapters there. Got a chapter on globalization. I got a chapter on Saul Alinsky as it relates to Barack Obama, as it happens, and also Hillary Clinton. Not many people realize that Hillary is as much, if not more, of an Alinskyite than Obama. She's just a little better at it because one of his chief tactics is stealth and infiltration. I'd say she's infiltrated pretty high. I'd say all of them have. But if you didn't know that about Hillary, check it out. She did her senior thesis on Saul Alinsky and pals around with George Soros, who uses her.
You are absolutely correct, and your book Stay Mad is a fantastic and great read. David, we got a caller coming in. Let me bring this person in, okay?
Yeah.
Here we go, and it's Eric. Let me get this question. Here we go. Area code 404. You're on the air live with here's Southern Sense. This is our piss and moan moment.
Hey, how you doing? This is G Ski Rocks from 2020 Radio.
Hey, G Ski.
GC, hey, you rock, baby.
Yeah, once again, I'm in my car driving, listening to your show. So I called in while I'm driving.
I hope it's hands-free.
Yes, it is hands-free. So So yeah, I'm listening to the show right now. I just want to hear you guys conversate, and I guess I'll chime in when I actually got something to say.
Okay. Well, I've got a background feedback because your sound is too high in the background.
Okay. Well, you can put me on mute.
That's what I'm gonna do, baby. All right. Now, David, did you catch? Do you know this this musician called Tyrese?
I do not.
All right. I actually listened to his music, and I'm a really big blues fan. And this guy, let me see if I can pull up the clip. And oh God, here we go, Annie. Let's do this little search a little bit better. Sometimes this new thing here with the blog talk is not always the best, but I had a clip here. It's not coming up. All right. Tyrese is a fantastic, fantastic musician. I knew nothing about him until this little controversy came up. He went in and did an interview in Delaware on WBJR. It's called KISS. 101.7. And I listened to his music. I swear, I had the complete set of Billie Holiday. I'm just having major brain farts right now. I had a fantastic set of blues that went back to 1920 through the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And my car was in an accident. And I took the car into the shop, and this time it was all cassettes. There were no CDs. And I had this whole big cassette collection that I had in my car inside the center console. So I'd be driving back and forth to work and everything else, and pop in a tape, and I'd have a field day just listening to Lady Day and so on and so forth. Well, this guy, this musician, Tyrese, is of that quality. I heard only just two songs of his, and I put him up there. I will put him up there. And I actually saw a video of his, and the way he moved and the way he sang, I was like, man, this is it. He gets it. He really gets it. Well, now he went into this radio station to do this interview, and this was just last week. And he was talking about... There's a community nearby in this Delaware area that has a liquor store directly across the street from an elementary school.
Figures, yeah.
Okay. Now, you don't allow liquor stores across the street from a church. Why would you allow them across the street from an elementary school or any school, right? It is a catastrophe waiting to happen. Well, he turned around and he said to him, quote, get them cats out of here. Selling alcohol across the street from your kid's school, homie, put the pressure on them, homie. You know, I'm probably not inflecting this because, you know, I'm a white girl trying to talk the wrong way. But anyway, you know how to put pressure on these dudes selling in your hood. Now, this is a man that says, hey, listen, dudes, this is not right. This is in your neighborhood. These are your children. This is not right. Why don't you speak up about it? Protect your kids. You don't want a liquor store directly across. Why don't you just turn around and put a pornography store in front of there? You know, you sell, you know.
Well, I mean, that's now, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You may not agree with me. If the liquor store is across the street from an elementary school, there's going to be no way an elementary kid is going to be able to go in and get anything from there.
But do you want a drunk walking out, carrying
out a little bit of
MD-40-40 and stumbling across the street?
No,
you don't.
You're right. You're right. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Where are they going to go? What was there first, the school or the store?
No, if it's grandfathered in, I can understand that. And quite honestly, I had a cousin of mine who had a liquor store, and it was within, I believe, 500 feet of a Baptist church. Now, they were opened prior to the Baptist church being open. And what they did was, on Sundays, they said, we're not selling alcohol, because they were legally allowed to sell alcohol on Sunday. We're not going to sell alcohol on Sundays. Instead, what we're going to do, we're going to sell you donuts and Danish. They bought all these bakery goods, and on Sundays, instead of selling alcohol, they said, yeah, here we go. We're going to service the community because we understand Sundays is a day you don't want alcohol sold, and it's a day of God. And my family growing up strictly Catholic understood it, and they were within three blocks of the Catholic Church too.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, no, we understand, we respect. But now they opening up a – obviously this liquor store came in after the school was open, from according to the way I'm reading the article, unless I'm reading it wrong. And if I'm reading it wrong, someone tell me and call in and tell me I'm reading this wrong. But he got kicked out of the radio station because he objected to the liquor store being across the church. From the school, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a few minutes into the interview, and during the commercial break, the DJ left the booth. He comes back and says the station manager went ballistic, was verbally abusive to the DJ, and demanded Tyrese be removed from the premises, from stating a First Amendment opinion.
Right. He can state that opinion, but the station manager runs the station, and he gets to choose what goes out over the airwaves that he represents. Right.
That I can agree to a bit, but when you're asking about protecting children,
what was the topic of the interview? What were they talking about? I don't know, because
they were talking about his music.
And what, he brought it up out of the blue?
And then Tyrese said, you know, I think we need to take care of our community. And one of the problems in our community right now is there's a liquor store directly across the street from this elementary school. And it's not a good, how do you say it? I'm trying to think of the word. I'm sure, David, you're going to tell me.
You are.
I'm thinking of the word. Were you trying to project a good image? You know what I'm trying to say. I'm sure everyone else there listening to me is saying you're having a brain fart, Anne, but you're trying to project a good, solid community image. So having a liquor store directly across from an elementary school is not projecting a good image, and maybe it's not a good influence on our children having a liquor store there, so when they come in and out on the bus every single day, it's not a good image. It's not a good projection on our children that we want to grow up to be responsible members of our society. It's the same thing as if you put a porn store in front. To me, I equate it as the same. It's not an influence you want on your children. If you put in front of there a library, if you put in front of there a bookstore, if you put in front of there a creative toy store that helps them expand their minds, I can see doing that. If you put in front of there a movie theater that has movies that are all G-rated or R-rated, I can see doing that. But a liquor store or something.
What if they agreed to? What if they agreed to sell candy and comic books during school hours?
You know, if it's comic books that teach, I have no problem with it.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, you know, just
but,
like
you know,
or
it's not a bad thing either. You know, we all grew up on it. You know, Kit Kats, Three Musketeers. Society overregulating is stupidity.
They
but
could sell,
you know what?
School supplies. They could sell during school hours. They could sell stationery and pencils and things like that.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. It just what I'm saying. Moral I'm not saying regulate it. I am not saying ban it. I'm not saying regulate it. But what Tyrese was saying is, you know, hey, listen, they have the right to open. But I think the community should speak out and say, hey, listen, make this man move. Don't regulate it. Just give him enough shame to make him move. And that I agree with. That I agree with. You know, if you can turn around through non-regulation, non-legal pressure and say, hey, listen, you know, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Let's encourage this man to move his business to a location that would better suit him and not harm our children. That's what I'm about.
Put yourself in the liquor store owner's shoes. Did you try that?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have. And you know what?
What
if I had been the liquor store owner, I would have said, wait a minute. When if I open this here, what are the ramifications? And I've owned a couple of businesses. And when you open up a business location, the first thing you do is you weigh what it is the community will think of you when you open it. And that's a major part of it. You know, if you open a liquor store directly across the street from the church, you're asking for a lawsuit. If you open a liquor store directly across from the school, you're asking for a lawsuit. You know you're going to go in with a liability. And what smart business owner is going to do that? No, you're going to open up your business in a place of least resistance. So whoever opened this liquor store knew they were taking a chance and did it deliberately to make a statement. And Tyrese made the statement, and God bless him for it. You know, I don't know what his political views are. I have no idea whether he's a Republican, Democrat, or, you know, a creature from Mars. But the fact he did it, I respect him.
No question. No doubt. Somebody's making a statement. No, nothing wrong with making another statement. So now let me ask you this. Is your beef with the fact that there is a liquor store across from a elementary school, or is your beef that he got kicked out of the radio station?
My beef is he got kicked out of the radio station.
Why?
Because he exercised his free speech.
Right, but he was on somebody else's airwaves. He was in somebody else's house. You know, you let people say what they want in your house, or if you want to hear what they have to say, you go to their house, right?
Well, you know what? What they could have done then at that point was done a counterpoint. Point and counterpoint.
Yeah, but I mean,
what they did
was
they didn't even allow him. They didn't even allow him to finish his speech.
You're not talking. You know, blog talk radio hosts. Those guys are real hosts. They don't know how to do that if they're not prepared.
David, we got another caller in. Let me bring this other individual back in, and I think this may be our friend G again. Let me bring this person back in. And G, is this you again?
Yes, it's me again. I was like I said, I'm just listening. Yeah, I got dropped.
And what's your opinion on this thing with Hatlin Tyrese? I'm telling you, I never heard his music before, but you know what? I'm a fan. I heard his song that just came up recently up on YouTube. Oh man, he's good.
You know, if it's the same person that I'm thinking of, you know, he's been in a ton of movies too. You know, he's been in one of the Fast and the Furious.
I never watched that.
Yeah, that's not the only one, but I know he's been in a ton of movies too.
Annie,
I think it's the same.
All the research you did with Fast and Furious, and that never came up, Annie.
Well, Fast and Furious I did was with the BATF, not the movie. The wrong Fast and Furious. But you know what? I'm a big, big, big fan of the blues. I'm telling you, if you came to my house, I'm telling you, gee, if you came to my house and looked at some of the music I have that goes back to 1920 and forward on the blues music, and I have a cousin that actually composes a lot of this stuff, and I never heard of Tyrese, but you know what? The two songs I heard, I am going to find an album of his, and I'll either download it or buy it. This man has not only my respect as a musician, but my respect for the fact that he's standing up there and saying, hey, listen, when we have a school district area and you got a school zone, there are certain things that should not happen in a school zone. There should not be liquor stores. There should not be pornography stores. There's certain things that should not be within a certain limit of a school, especially an elementary school, because we want to teach our kids to be responsible and moral. Am I right or wrong?
No. You're right on that point. That's one of the things that we find ourselves battling with every single day. I mean, you know, you pop up a school, and then right down the street you want to put either a liquor store or a church, and most of the time it's a liquor store because they make a lot more money, and in a lot of states they're open on Sundays, not here in Georgia, but say that again.
I have an interesting tidbit about in Buffalo. They have a. They put bars across the street from churches on purpose there, because what will happen is the husband will go out and at the bar they'll have the bulletin for two or three churches, so that when the husband goes home and says I was at church, here's the bulletin from the church.
you know I would not doubt that has happened at all. But, I mean, but it is a big, huge problem, especially in the black community. So for him to stand up and say, you know, this is something that we have to stop, you know, I think that he was right. You know, as far as him being, you know, booted from that radio station, once again, that's their call. But they probably lost a lot of listeners from doing just that.
Now, what happened after they booted him? How did they explain that he left when they came back?
Well, actually, they were doing a pre-interview before they went on live, so they never aired the actual interview.
So he never made it to air?
No, he never made it to air.
Wow.
So they actually cut off the entire interview. But the news of it happened afterwards, absolutely afterwards. Now, G, did you hear about this thing that happened? I'm trying to look through. I swear, they make the print on these things smaller and smaller, and the older you get, it's harder and harder to read. There is a video up on YouTube where there is a teacher, and no one has an idea where this teacher's from or whatever, but there's up there on YouTube, and it's under Shut Up and Sit Down. If anyone does a YouTube, you got to turn down your background a little bit, because you give me an echo here.
Okay,
all right.
How's that?
That's a lot better. But it's up on YouTube, and it's under Shut Up and Sit Down. There's a teacher there that two kids in the classroom started to go at each other. One of them stood up, threw a chair aside, and started to go against this other guy. And if you look at the YouTube video, the guy that went after the second guy was about half his size. So I'm going, dude, first off, he's got probably about 100 pounds on you, and you're going to go in his face? Well, the teacher turns around, gets up in the face of the two of them, and the dialogue goes off of this, like, hey, you boys are pissing me off. And he pushes, he doesn't physically push, but he actually, with his body between the two of them, forces the two of them away. And he says, both of y'all listen, quit selling out my house. This is the teacher telling the two kids, quit selling out my house. He says, you know, telling to one, shut up and sit down. He tells this to the one that is built like Baby Huey. And this teacher is a skinny little string bean. And he turns around, he turns to the baby Huey, looks up at him and says, "Shut up and sit down. I swear this teacher had scut up the kazoo here." And he goes, "Before I change out you and you," and he's pointing to two kids, "if you don't take that mess out over there, right now, it's not like you're going to push me through or get through me." He's telling them, "You're not going to get through me. You're not going to fight each other." And he goes at them left and right. And he turned around and told the one kid, "Get out of the classroom. If you want to fight, you take it outside. You're not taking it here. You want to deal with this guy? It's off campus." He says, in this classroom, he's basically telling them, "We teach." What gets me is he said, and his following, he ended this with, "This ain't no Crips, Bloods kind of nonsense. You can take it out and then get out." This is a teacher. Man, is this guy awesome or not?
I can't find it, though. Where what's it under?
Actually, you go to the Blaze, you know, Glenn Beck's site, the Blaze.
All right.
And he has the video up there. And that's why I found the video. And I thought I had downloaded it. And I honestly swear, I really honestly thought I had downloaded the damn thing. I apologize for taking damn, but anyway, I thought I had it, but I can't find it in my uploads. But I've got about maybe 200 uploads here. You know, it's a blonde moment. You know, us white girls have that problem. Hey, gee, what do you think about a teacher like that that turns around and says to the students, "Hey, listen, this isn't gangs anymore. You don't do this in my classroom. You don't get up in each other's face. You don't do this in my classroom. We're here to learn."
You know, I really appreciate teachers like that. You know, I got five kids. So, you know, I'm you know, dealing with teachers each and every day. And I'm the first person to say to a teacher, say, "Hey, look, I'm on your side. Whatever you need to do, that's what I'll do." So for a teacher to stand up, especially to stand up to somebody that's bigger than them, that's awesome in my book.
Well, gee, go to the Blaze and pull it up on Glenn Beck. It's the article is called "Us, Shut Up and Sit Down." And he goes on, "Fed up teacher gives rousing speech to stop classroom brawl." And I'm telling you, it's up on the Blaze. And I don't like going to personality websites. I want to go to real websites. But this thing I couldn't find on YouTube, but I thought I had downloaded it, and unfortunately it didn't work. But, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. You did not diss a teacher. You didn't do something like this in a classroom. But the fact is that the classrooms have become such a free-for-all brawl area. I mean, how are we going to... We want to bring our economy up into a level that we can compete against other nations. If we cannot control our classrooms and create a nation of people that are knowledgeable and skillful, how can we compete? How can we be the market that our nation was supposed to be built upon?
Oh, it is good.
David, give me an answer.
Hold on, I'm watching the video.
Ah, David found the video. Gee, what's your answer to that?
You know, I agree with everything that's being said, because like I said, I completely understand it. And, you know, growing up in New York, you know, we've ran across stuff like that all the time. So I know it's a tough game out there for the teachers, and they have a lot of work to do. Just like our police officers, they have a lot of work to do. They have a lot on their hands. So I mean, I agree, and we have to take more steps And we have to find more teachers like that here in this country so that we can straighten out our doggone kids, because a lot of the parents don't want to do it. So we have to straighten out a lot of our kids, and the teachers are the only outlet to do that.
So yeah. We're in like the middle point of from raising our own kids, but the government has been dumping so much stuff on us for, you know, hey, you need to do this with your kids. We need to raise your kids. You need to let us raise your kids. And we're almost at the point where some parents have let go already, and they send their kids to school, and whatever the end result of that is, you know, they'll live with. But we don't, you know, instead of holding the government more accountable for what they are teaching the kids, they just live with what they get. And so it's like a tipping point, you know, where some have already thrown up their hands when it comes to their own kids, and some I know how I am with my kids. My hands are not up, you know. I'm on it, and
it's no longer balance it back the other way for personal
responsibility.
David, it's no longer what you want. What Hillary wants is it takes a village. Actually, it takes a village idiot. It's more like we're finding the asphalt jungle. Has anyone read that book, The Asphalt Jungle? Much less watched the movie? The asphalt jungle is what we've got now. We've got a free-for-all on our classrooms, and we've got to take them back. And The Asphalt Jungle was a movie in the 50s, but there was also movies in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and also highlighting the problem. Now, gee, you said you're from New York. Where in New York?
Queens.
Ah, and I'm retired out of Brooklyn, New York, NYPD.
All right, across the bridge. I told David earlier that when you were talking, I can hear the New York agent.
Hey, Annie.
Yes, Annie, sir.
I just tweeted that link, okay? So shut up and sit down. And guess who retweets it for me?
Who?
Addie. And then she sends me a message. Auntie Kami, I like it, I like it. Shut up and sit down. Judge Judy style.
Well, actually, David, put that link up, please, in the chat room, because we got some people up in the chat room. I'm sure they would. I'd love to see that link up in the chat room.
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, and also you've got to give me information the next week on so I can help. So I can do Tesla's show there. Anyway, having grown up inside the New York City, not New York City, but the New York State. School system, public school system. I went through, you're obviously are much younger than me, but I went through the busing.
He's a baby.
And the civil rights fights. And I can tell you, holy cow, such mismanagement by our government or our school districts. Our school district went, my parents moved us there, they moved us into an area of Long Island where they thought they had a very, very good school district. And that was the year busing hit. And it went from a very school district to the bottom of the totem pole because no one took in consideration what was going to happen. And they bused us in, and we went from, I believe it was 50 or 60% white to now 75% black. And I can remember being thrown up against the lockers going, yo, bitch, true story, bitch, give me some money from lunch. And I'm going, is this what integration's about? And despite all the stuff I went through with the integration, I don't have a bigoted bone in my body. I'm saying it's the people and the circumstance they're in. And I want to change those circumstances to change that attitude. And I that is what a conservative is about. I want to change the attitude. I can understand why you're doing that. I don't agree why you're doing that. And I think there's another way to look at it. Am I being just stupid or blind or ignorant?
No.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
No. As a matter of fact, I listened to Thomas's from the Visible Conservative. I listened to his interview with Wayne Perriman today, who is bringing a lawsuit. I think you mentioned that, didn't he? Didn't you?
Wayne Perriman, yes.
Yeah.
And gee, you still have a lot of background noise.
Just mute him.
I'm sorry. I'm still in the car. I'm on a mission. So,
all right.
Put me on mute, and I'm gonna chime back in about 5 minutes.
All right, that sounds good. All right, because I got a lot of background noise here, baby doll.
All right.
All right, David, go ahead.
Yeah, I listened to the Wayne Perriman interview that Thomas did. Now, is he somebody that you already interviewed or are you going to?
No, I will be doing him on Tuesday.
Okay, good.
That did not come out right.
No, I
that did not come out right.
Is he aware of this?
I will be interviewing him on Tuesday. I apologize.
Yeah, that's a new word, huh? Never heard it called that before, Annie.
Oh, dang.
Interview, that's how it starts. So, no, but anyways, I mean, he had some history that is just absolutely forgotten. I mean, chin on the jaw on the ground type of thing. Jaw dropping facts.
David,
history, true history. It's
David,
amazing.
I'm going to ask you a question. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. If you can do me a favor, because I cannot find it. But maybe if you can, please, I beg of you, please help me on this one. Help me on this one. He was on Sean Hannity recently, last week, on the radio show, and he got into a big tussle with someone that's an anti-Tea Party person. And it's supposed to be a phenomenal, phenomenal segment. I can't find it. David, if you can find it,
right, I'll play it
on the show. So, Mark, I can't find it. I don't know where to look. I may not be looking in the right place. But you know
how
what?
How do you spell his name?
Reverend Perriman.
Perriman. Yeah.
He's with the National Black Republican. Oh, man. He did a phenomenal interview with Sean Hannity, and it was on the radio. It's not on the TV show, on the radio. And I cannot find it. If anyone has a segment of that where Reverend Perriman in this past week went after an anti-Tea Party person, please email me. Send it to me. I beg of you. I want to hear it. Because when I spoke to him on the phone, he said, "Did you hear it?" And I said, "No, it was at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, which would make it 8 o'clock our Eastern Standard Time." Somewhere in that area in the last couple of days.
Well, I don't know how that's possible because he's on from 3 to 6 Eastern.
Well, no. If Sean Hannity's on 5 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
No, it's not.
Sean Hannity's 5 o'clock on the radio.
Yeah.
So which make it 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. There's a 3-hour difference.
Yeah, so that makes it 2 o'clock, and it goes the other way.
No, Pacific is later, not earlier.
No.
David? Do I have to instruct you on time zones again? You are in Eastern Standard Time. Do we need to do this again? Hey, Sarge is in the house. Hello, Sarge. Sarge, call in And G is still on the phone with us as soon as he comes back in. Sarge, please join us. This is our Piss and Moan. And I really am honestly telling you, unless I hear from
it's
you
earlier.
Guys. Would say that again, David?
It's 3 hours earlier.
Excuse me.
Okay,
the sun goes from the
excuse.
East. The sun goes from the east to the west. So if it's 3 o'clock here,
it
makes it 6 o'clock there. England is earlier than us.
You just proved
California.
Your own point. You got to think about it. You just proved your own point. The sun goes from east to west. So when
you know
it's
what?
Two o'clock,
I hate you.
Well, I'm sorry, but I mean.
You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of my time. All right. I apologize. I'm thinking of my time. I'm thinking of my time. True story. True story. Thinking of my time.
All right. Well, you scared Sarge off. Oh, there he is.
No, hey, Sarge is still here. Sarge, call in because I need a little sanity here. And listen, David did
Donnie
put up.
Donnie.
Oh, God. Yanni just walked up behind me. God, he's trying to drive me nuts. I love him. Anyway, David put up inside the chat room the Blaze article about the teacher I was talking about telling his students to sit down and shut up and stop being stupid. Sarge, you're going to love that story. Please call in. And I'm taking a sip of my scotch because I need a little break here.
All righty.
Anyway, God, there's so much stuff going on lately. David, have you...
I don't have a clip of that Hannity thing. All I have is, like, the announcement that he's going to be on. Hannity puts an announcement out on Twitter that, you know, so-and-so is coming up in the next hour or something like that, you know, and you know, all the Google search got me to was stuff like that. So...
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm making you a little tired there, but...
Oh, no. Zach, I just, while I was talking earlier, I ate my food, so I had a little hiccup, you know, so.
Well, actually, Yanni just gave me a bowl of food because I haven't eaten anything at all day today. But there is Sheila Jackson Lee was on Tavis Smiley. Tavis Smiley is one of these CNN puppets.
Yeah.
And I've got a clip here. I'm going to play that clip. Hang on. Let me play this.
Would the president ever say to an audience of our Jewish brothers and sisters concerned about the plight, the crisis in the Middle East, stop complaining, stop grumbling, stop crying? Would this president ever say to Wall Street publicly, stop grumbling, stop complaining, stop crying? Would he ever say to our Hispanic brothers and sisters on immigration and their concerns, stop grumbling, stop crying, stop complaining? Did he say to gays and lesbians, stop grumbling, stop complaining, stop crying? How does he get away with saying this to black folk when he would never form his lips to ever say that to any other constituency, Congresswoman?
Well, I will say this. First of all, you are absolutely right. There were those who cheered when Jesus was crucified, and we have found that despicable from the beginning of history to this time. And I think familiarity is the answer to your question. The president came and put on the armor of a brother and sister. I make no excuse for some of those comments as you look back and you wonder whether they were said in love, whether they were said to your brother who's sitting next to you who's been having hard times and you're trying to pump your brother up or your sister up and you're saying, come on now, you can do better than this. We're not complaining. We will. My view of it as a legislator and an articulation of pain and complaint, I will still continue to articulate complaint, pain, and despair. But at the same time, if the captain was trying to say, come on now, I really view that speech to the audience and the national audience who would hear it.
Okay.
Come on now, we can do better than this. We're going to make it. But the point is there staying power in that message? Are we going to continue at that pace? Are we going to tell the Republicans to stop being obstructionists? Are we going to tell the Tea Party people to stop being Tea Party people instead of patriots and Americans? I really think the one verb that might have been, the one phrase that might have been left out is that we're all Americans. Thank you, Congressional Black Caucus, for telling America that we're Americans and we must feel each other's pain.
Oh, man. Now, think about that. Think about what the heck was going on here. And I just put Glee back on. And you know what, David?
What?
I am bringing on my husband, Yanni. Hang on a second.
All righty.
Yanni, what is your opinion?
My opinion is that I can tell that I just gave you some food. That's what my opinion is.
The honesty,
you can tell that
story,
you're eating,
story,
Yanni.
If anyone heard any little background noise, I hadn't eaten all day, so he gave me a little something, a little bowl of something.
Right. You know, this is how it works out in a little studio, you know. That's no big deal. But being that it's Piss and Moan, I think it's the last show, believe. Is that right, Annie?
Yes, it is. And we got a bunch of people inside the chat room, and I welcome them all in. We got Big Sarge. I want Sarge to call in. We got a bunch of guests in there, and I want them also to call in. This is Piss and Moan. Piss and Moan is about you calling in. It doesn't have to be teeth and backwards politics. It can be about anything.
Yeah.
We had this moment about her goats. I don't care what it is. It's Piss and Moan. Piss and Moan is about you.
All right.
The chat room is open, so I welcome everyone in there. The call-in line is open, which is 917-889-3675. And, David, what was your opinion on that clip with Sheila Jackson Lee?
She wants it both ways, like they always do. You know, first they're going to complain that he's picking on them, and then they're going to say, well, he wasn't really picking on us. He was trying to motivate us. Yeah, that's it.
And it is. She wants it both ways. You know, stop complaining, but do something. Well, hello, unless we make our voices heard, you're not going to be able to create the legislation we need to move forward. So you're not allowing us to have a voice in what the legislation should be, but you want us to act on the legislation you want. You are going to force down our throat. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
Are you seeing it differently?
That's what I know. I mean, that's kind of what I had just said. They want it both ways. So.
All right. Gee, your mic is live. So I know you got a lot of background noise, but what is your thought? Because you've been listening in.
Well, you know what? I am 2 seconds from arriving at my home. I'm going to chime in when I get home because I don't want all the background noise, okay?
All right. Well, I'm going to mute you again then, baby doll.
All right.
G is an absolutely fantastic person. And
David,
he does have his own show.
Does Yanni ever get a chance? No. Shut up, Yanni, and that's it, right?
She loves you.
No, she doesn't. Isn't it obvious? You know what? Look, I'm the one that came up with Piss and Moan, and I'm going to just flush the toilet now, and the Piss and Moan's off the air. But the thing is, you know, she never gives me a chance. She loves everybody out there like you on the air. If I talk to her, she shuts me up. And it's called in professional things called dead air, because when I say something, all of a sudden there's silence, you know, just like at home.
It's called marriage.
You know?
None of my business.
Be an evening. It's an evening of just bitching and moaning about anything that you have on your mind. And right now, Anne Marie is on my mind, and it ain't working out.
Well,
so No, she's a great host. You know, the only thing is that the idiot behind this whole thing is me. But, you know, I have to sit down and shut up. You know, but that's the way it goes, you know.
Well,
she's got
Big,
the money.
Big Sarge is inside the chat room. He says, laugh out loud. I don't have anything to piss and moan about tonight.
Yeah, well. Oh, Sarge is on there.
Old Sarge is on there. No,
yeah,
Big
okay.
Sarge, not Old Sarge.
Oh, my. I'm scared now.
Good Lord. No,
you know what? I was listening to you all while I was walking up and down the hall over here, and I just wanted to just pop in and kind of contribute a little bit, but right now I'm going to shut up and listen to you all, and that's about it, you know? But if I have something to say, Annie, please do not cut me off and make dead air, because I'm going to go into a commercial, okay? I'm going to promote my business. I'm going to promote everybody else's businesses, you know, because that's the way it's going to work.
Yes, dear. Yes,
yeah,
dear.
Yeah, just call me Bernie, okay?
I swear.
All right, y'all, carry on, okay?
I have to swear. There's never a dull moment being married to my husband.
So what is it that he had to say? He wanted to get on and say something, and then the only thing he said was, I never get to say anything.
I don't know.
All right. I'm just trying to sort it out. It's your business.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there
just
he is.
Call me Forrest. I'm Forrest Gump, man. That's it, you know.
Oh, I forgot to mute his mic.
Man, that's it, you know.
I've worn a
you know,
lot
no. Let me tell you. So, listen. While we're on
Pissing
Moan, let me tell you. Let me tell you a real quick thing, and I'll shut up. But you know, I went to the concert over here with for the Wounded Vets with.
It was for the Independence Fund. It was the Lieutenant Dan weekend with Gary Sinise.
Right. So I bought a guitar from my pawn shop, my friend that is part of the whole
a left-handed
thing.
Bass guitar.
I bought a left-handed gay. Did I say gay? Oh, jeez, man, that really slipped out. I came out of the closet, Annie.
You bought a left-handed gay?
Anyway, no. Jesus, man. But, you know, so I get it.
I'm dying.
I bought it. I wanted to go over there and have Gary sign the thing for me, right? So I go home, and I used to play bass guitar, and I turned it and went like, whoa, this is left-handed, and I'm right-handed, you know. But if I had him sign it, I always just hung it up on the wall, you know. But security was pretty tight, so you couldn't get it anyway, so it didn't matter. So that was my story about what's the name of the band? Lieutenant Dan Band. Yeah, right. He was awesome. And the whole thing was, it all fell to pieces on my part. You know, I mean, I tried, but it didn't work out. So that's the end of my story, and good night.
Great story.
You're laughing at me, aren't you?
Yes, dear. Good night, dear.
I am not. That was a great story. I love the Lieutenant Dan Band. I do.
Oh, they are actually phenomenal. If anyone has actually seen Lieutenant Dan Band in person, oh, there are 8 musicians, singers and musicians, that perform in such synchronicity. Oh, it is. And they have all different genres. Thankfully, no rap. But they are fantastic.
Now,
absolutely
hold on
fantastic.
G Ski raps.
Not exactly a rap.
He raps.
No. I watched the performance. It was 2 weekends ago.
No. The guy on the phone, G Ski rocks. He raps.
Oh, G Ski raps, but he's not part of the Lieutenant Dan Band.
No, but I mean, you seem to have a distaste for rap. I mean, just know that he's a rapper.
No, I'm not a big fan of rap unless
right,
you give me something that is that I can understand.
You might like
that
stuff.
Is not women or hoes and stuff
no,
like
no,
that.
No, he's no, he
no,
you,
no.
You
if you
like
if you
rap.
Give me good, clean rap, that doesn't degrade the people around you, fine. I have no qualms with that. Then I'll listen to it because it has a poetry and a rhythm to it. But the difference is that when it gets bastardized,
mm-hmm.
and I don't appreciate the bastardization of something. And, you know, I love poetry. And if G has something out there, let me hear it. And you know what? He's got something he wants me to put up on the show. I'll play it.
Oh yeah, he's got a character. He played for me today. It's pretty funny.
I have no qualms about it, but give me something that's good, that isn't turning around and degrading people around you, and giving a. I'm trying. You know, David, I'm thinking of a word, and I know you know the word I'm thinking of.
Starts with. Sounds like.
Oh,
two words. How many syllables? Stomp on the floor.
It's not a detriment to society.
Okay.
And Yanni's screaming behind me because I muted his mic. Oh, God. I hear him screaming behind me and I muted his mic.
He's probably telling another story.
Yeah, I hear him yelling behind me. Hey, folks, you're listening to Piss and Moan on Southern Sense. And you know what? I'm getting so many people coming up inside the chat room and everything else. And I don't, you know, it's hard for me to do three shows a week. And I put up there saying this might be my last one to do as a regular show. And if you guys want me to continue to do the show, come up into the chat room and tell me or send me an email or something like that. To me, it's a lot of hard work. Doing three shows a week, it takes intensive research.
Oh,
and
where do they go? Where do they all go?
I don't know. They just all disappeared.
Okay.
But, you know, if people honestly, truly want me to continue to do the show, you know, I will. But I need them to tell me because, like I said, it's a lot of hard work. And if I do my show on Tuesdays and Fridays, and I've got myself normally about a 3-inch stack of research, so when I go on the air with a guest or I talk about a subject, I've got it. And Tyson, who was my co-host, and he came into my office and said, "Dang, Annie, you really do have these files here sitting with you." And I'm looking, honestly, for a wireless headset so that when I'm talking on air, I can turn around and go over to the files and say, "I'm pulling out this file and that." But the headset I use right now is on a limited cord, so unless I go to a break, I can't pull out the folders. But I do. I research everything. And it's not as if I'm talking off the top of my head. And I can't stand it when I go into a show and someone's talking about something who they have not researched the subject.
Mm-hmm.
David, am I correct or not?
Yeah, I hate that.
And if you're going to go in there and you're going to talk about a subject, be knowledgeable about it. And if you don't know something, be honest and say, "I don't know." And I have, excuse me, I have said it several times in the air when someone asks me a question, says, "You know what? I don't know. I honestly don't know." But be honest about it and say, "I don't know. But I will learn about it." And that is a piss and moan moment because I hate it when people will mouth off on subjects without true knowledge. Excuse me.
My goodness.
I just got a little bit something here. I'm going to play a little PSA here. I just had to play that clip because Cool Mike got a bunch of Playboy bunnies, believe it or not. that did a PSA moment on it, and they did a PSA moment to promote my show. I thought it was too funny and too cute.
Cool.
You missed that one, David, did you?
I did. I didn't catch what they said. You know why? You know
why? Why?
Because I got a message from Pamela Geller, and I figured while I had her attention, I would ask her if she wanted to come on my radio show.
Good.
So I was typing a thing, so
Go ahead. I'm gonna play this little PSA that Mike did with a couple of Playboy bunnies. I thought it was just too frigging funny. He got Playboy bunnies to do a PSA for me.
Hi, we're from Playboy Energy, and you're listening to Love Is Dead, only on Blog Talk Radio.
No.
It's awfully loud.
You couldn't understand a single word they said, but it was supposed to be Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio.
No, you got to turn that down, Annie. Turn it down.
I know.
I
did. I had it all the way down, but he had a couple of Playboy bunnies over there. I'm going to try. It's only 10 seconds.
Hi, we're from Playboy Energy, and you're listening to Love Is Dead, only on Blog Talk Radio.
And they were saying, here were the Playboy bunnies doing some energy drink, listening to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I thought it was too funny. Absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. Anyway. good Lord. I'm looking at other stuff we have here going on with Piss and Moan. And, you know, dang. I don't know how many people have been following me, but know about my property bitch with I'm not saying anyone's a bitch, but my property dispute with my next-door neighbor. And I live on a corner property, and I've got two streets on my corner, so I am a corner property, and behind me is a golf course, and no, I do not play golf. I got kicked off a golf course when I was 18. Anyway, my neighbor on the other side does not understand property bounds. And she ended up destroying a corner of my property that's on the street side, not her side. And I've been trying to rehabilitate the property.
Dude.
So I've been going on nonstop, and I don't want to take this woman to court. I've done it once before, and I won. I had no attorney. I just did my research, and you know Alice's restaurant where they said you have those 8x10 glossy photographs, and Alice's restaurant goes on. Oh, I had them all. I had the 8x10 glossy photographs with the titles and everything else, and I didn't even have to walk into a courtroom. And they ended up settling with me and paid me cash. And, you know, I had honestly the world's worst contractor that put the replacement bushes in. So it's never gone up to what I had before. So now I'm looking at the other corner, and I'm saying, oh, my goodness, I've got the same problem here. Do I sue her again and end up with a pissant contractor trying to, and they're going to rip me off again? So I'm looking at this. I'm going, all right, this weekend I got to go out there. I'm going to try to turn around and pull out the weeds and let the natural stuff come up there and just put sprinklers up there. I think that's going to be my best bet. Save myself probably a couple of $1,000 and a court case and everything else. And you know what? Dealing with neighbors is a bitch.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know very many of my neighbors other than to wave when I drive by or something, you know.
Well, actually, you know what? I've got a couple of neighbors across the street, And I've never spoken to the two women that live across the street. And I know one or two of them are both ex-military. And, you know, I've always waved hi, never actually personally spoke to them. But Yanni and I went out for a couple of cocktails before we went on air. And I actually saw them there. And I said, you know, you do live across the street to me. And, you know, my name is, and I shook their hands. And I said, you know, by the way, you know, have no fear about coming across the street and talking to me. And you know what struck me? Is that they said, you know what, when the people were coming around complaining about your property, we told them it was none of your business. God bless these ladies.
Oh, good.
I said to them, it's none of my business what goes on your property, what goes on yours, and I appreciate that. And I said, feel free to knock on my front door. And if you want to say hi, fine. No problem. God bless these two women that live across the street from me, because you know what? These are true Americans, because it's no one's business what goes on your property and what goes on mine. And you know what they're bitching about?
No.
I had a boat parked on my front yard.
Well, where else are you going to put it?
Well, it didn't fit in my bathroom. And it didn't fit in my backyard, because my backyard's the golf course. So where the hell do you want me to put the damn boat? Well, subsequently, we were forced to sell the boat because everyone was complaining about the boat on the damn front yard. And you know what these two women said to me? The front yard looks perfect, because I don't believe in clear cutting.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe in clear cutting. We have areas in my yard that's natural growth. And you've got the front yard. And, David, you have to understand, I'm on an acre. I have an acre. And about three-quarters of it is lawn. And we keep the lawn. Okay, fine. We keep that cut. But I like the natural foliage around me. I like the screening, so I don't have to see my neighbor's houses. I don't have to see the street. I don't have to see anything. But they're bitching about the natural foliage because I don't look like a golf course community.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? You turn around and vote liberal because you want natural. But now you're telling me I have to trim all this shit?
Well, yes. You do. They want it both ways.
And I said to them,
of your show.
Well, David, I said to the two young ladies, and I said, you know what? That's what a conservative is. We don't want anyone in violating our rights. And if I want my bushes to be overgrown, then who are you to tell me I can't have them? If I have junk on my yard, I can understand that. If it causes a health hazard, I can understand that. But if you're telling me I have to trim my bushes and cut my lawn, no, I don't understand that. Well, anyway, You have been listening to Piss and Moan, and David Graham has been courteous to my guest host, and thank you, David.
Yes.
You have your show, Stay Mad, and you have also been guest hosting for Tesler in Socialism is Not an Option, and you have your book, Stay Mad, on Lulu.com.
Right.
So please go to Lulu.com and look at David's book and buy it. Because it's an excellent book. I have his book. I have his autographed book. But if you know what, you go on there and you go to Lulu.com, you buy the book, he just might autograph it for you. What do you think, David?
Well, I'll do it. Send me $20 and I'll send you a signed copy. You can do that. Give me your address on Twitter. I'm Anti-Commie with a K.
Absolutely. Always look for David. He's anti-commie with a definite okay for communism. And you know what? I want to thank everyone for listening into the show. If they do want to see me come back on here on Blog Talk Radio, Piss and Moan, I think, is going to be a special every now and then. We're not going to do it every single weekend anymore. But you know what? In the words of Willie Nelson, we always have to say,
turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night, the party's over.